Hey, just a quick note before we start. You might have heard the end of last podcast and heard that we're doing the 59 sound. And that was true when I said it. But the fans have spoken and they wanted some Say Anything this month. And so that's what I gave them. We're doing Say Anything's Is a Real Boy. The Gaslight Anthem will definitely happen at some point. Spoiler for next month, a whole bunch of people wanted me to do Bon Iver's For Emma Forever Ago. And so that's what I'm going to do next month. So I'm very excited about that. I also have a new book out. It's a book of poetry. It's called Poetry for People Who Hate Poetry. So if you fall into that category, you can find it on Amazon. Go get it. And as always, all the episodes are at thesoundandthestory.show. And my book is available at Amazon, Poetry for People Who Hate Poetry. Okay, here's the show.
And the record begins with a song of rebellion.
On April 6th of 2003, Max Bemis' mom posted this message on sayanythingmusic.com, a site that featured a header image with an outlined uppercase S and a lowercase A in Helvetica font. The site had a comment option, but most posts featured one comment, if any at all. The message said, "Everyone should email Max and wish him a happy 19th birthday. Parentheses, it's tomorrow." His name was hyperlinked to his email address, sayanything16@aol.com. 16 months later, Max Bemis, and essentially Max Bemis alone, would release Is a Real Boy, a psychotic, almost rock opera that detailed and dovetailed with the mind of a young man suffering from bipolar disorder and planted a flag on the moon in a scene where everyone else was still on planet Earth. Is a Real Boy is as postmodern as it gets, but because of its authentic brand of crazy, never feels pretentious. It's ironic and self-referential, it's crude and horny and incessant, almost overbearing at times before another hook slides in. Another drumbeat forces hands to hit steering wheels and feet to slide across wooden apartment floors. I went to a bar in Albuquerque, New Mexico one time, and there were dogs running around everywhere, and men, and it was only men, tipped their seats at the bars with a paper coaster over their beer to carve out their territory. And I was there, and I was 23, and it was my first business trip for work. And you know what that feels like if you've had it. And it was all so weird and strange and perfect. And that's what this record is. Immensely strange, weird, and perfect. I'm David Callison, and this is The Sound and the Story.
Shit! Nothing makes sense, so I won't think about it. I'll go with the ignorance, eat, sleep, fucking flee.
In the year 2000, high schooler Max Bemis would invite his buddies Kobe, Mike, and Evan to start a pop-punk band called Say Anything, one word, after the John Cusack 80s flick of the same name. They would remain Say Anything, one word, until someone very smart told them to just spell everything the normal way. Say Anything, two words, is the movie that features John Cusack holding a boombox up in front of Diane's house in a scene that is now probably more well-known than the movie itself. I actually think it's important to hear this clip from that movie because I'm guessing a young Max Bemis related to it strongly.
I thought about this quite a bit, sir, and I would have to say, considering what's waiting out there for me, I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed, or buy anything sold or processed, or process anything sold, bought, or processed, or repair anything sold, bought, or processed. You know, as a career, I don't want to do that. So my father's in the Army. He wants me to join, but I can't work for that corporation. So what I've been doing lately is kickboxing. Which is a new sport, but I think it's got a good future.
The young band recorded a self-produced EP called Junior Varsity, and an LP called Baseball. These had fairly typical pop-punk emo sound that was common when they were recorded in 2000 and 2001. Remember, that's when Brand New and Taking Back Sunday released their debut albums. In October of 2002, Say Anything, with that space added to their name, released the Minora Majora EP on their website. Filled with rageful tunes and a little self-depreciation, one song is called Baseball, but better, referring derogatorily to their first album. The EP was recorded entirely by Max, who played everything, including the, quote, fake, off-time keyboard drums.
You're far too cold for me to warm you, so I'd love to hold a lighter to your skin, and it takes for me to warm you.
The EP caught the attention of the big indie labels of the time, like Drive Thru Records, who called Bemis, according to Bemis in a 2006 Spin interview, the next Bob Dylan and the next Bleak 182. As you might imagine, this put a little pressure on the then 17-year-old. After Minora Majora, Bemis would sign Say Anything to Doghouse Records, an indie label out of Toledo, Ohio that was home to the All-American Rejects and had put out the Get Up Kids classic 4-Minute Mile. Fun fact, the Get Up Kids song Red Letter Day is about the contractual difficulties the kids had with Doghouse founder Dirk Himsath. That whole situation could fill an entire episode of its own. Bemis had grandiose plans for what would become Say Anything's de facto debut album. Feeling massive pressure to create, quote, the greatest record ever, Bemis pushed the band's sound far beyond their previous pop-punk output. He gravitated toward the cinematic, evidently working at first with Stephen Trask, who wrote the music and lyric for Hedwig and the Angry Itch, and who retains a producer credit on the record. Having conceived of the record as his own rock musical with a full narrative, cast, and spoken interludes between songs, Bemis also insisted on playing every instrument himself except drums. Further still, Bemis and producer Tim O'Hare conceptualized a mockumentary, documenting and satirizing the process of recording the record. Bemis said the two people he wanted to outdo with the album, originally called Zona Zona and later retitled Is a Real Boy, were Andy Warhol and Jesus. And that's when things got really weird.
Most likely because of my band, they've asked all I can get when I'm lonely. And these visions of death seem to own me in the quiet of the classrooms all across the stacked United States of war.
Before we go any further, we need to talk about the mental illness known as bipolar disorder. Max Bemis, as well as myself, suffer from the illness, which is often misunderstood. Bipolar, which used to be known as manic depression, is a mental illness primarily marked by chronic episodes of depression where there's no external factor. Example, if my mom died, it'd be expected that I'd be depressed. But if it was just a regular Tuesday, I shouldn't be depressed. The main symptom of bipolar is a chronic number of those depressed Tuesdays. But of course, that is not the sexy side of bipolar. The side most people think of is the mania side. Mania feels like there's a soda can inside you that got shook up. You might feel high, jacked up, talkative, have racing thoughts, be irritable. You also might feel invincible or godlike, or feel that consequences don't apply to you, which can lead to stealing, gambling, sexual indiscretions, drug use. Mania can also include psychosis, hearing things that aren't there, and increasing paranoia. The latter is exactly what happened to Bemis while recording the record. Bemis became convinced that the mockumentary, which they had scrapped, was actually being filmed, but secretly. He believed he was being followed and began engaging with strangers on the streets of Brooklyn. But Bemis recovered enough to finish the record, which was then released on August 3rd of 2004. At 19, Bemis's career had begun in earnest. The record begins with a song of rebellion, and in fact, is an entire album of rebellion, partially about disillusionment with the music industry, remember Drive Thru calling him the next Bob Dylan, but mostly about defining his identity as someone who clearly does not fit into the mold society has set for him. The first lyric of Belt, I wouldn't sell my belt to industry, So they carted me, and they carted me off. The key here is belt. It's not a belt around his waist, as he says. It's his belted out voice. I wouldn't sell my voice to the music industry. So they carted me. He's under 21. And they carted him off. Ooh, no one tell this young Max Bemis that he would eventually sign to a major label. The fuck you theme against the industry, and it's important to remember that Bemis grew up in LA, and his dad was a poster designer in Hollywood, so he did know a little bit about the quote-unquote industry. It's most explicitly reiterated again on An Orgy of Critics, and then that barn burner of a last track in Minute. You're so perfect to please us, he sings, you make all the right noise. Get the business clothes off, take off, and strip down to your voice. That line referencing the line in Belt when he says, naked but the belt I wear so well. Which we just mentioned was, in fact, his voice. Your art, it brought me to my knees, he sings, both mimicking the critics sarcastically and pseudo-sexually, saying his art is so good that they would offer sexual favors to him. He talks about that idea further in the song Whoa when he sings, she took pity on me horizontally, but most likely because of my band. If you're horizontal with someone, you get it. You'll notice how much I'm ping-ponging between songs, and it becomes easy to see how this is almost a rock opera. This is something I have to do for myself, he sings in Belt. And remember, he did. He played every instrument except drums. It's Max Bemis versus the world, and this is a chronicling of that war. Notice, too, that he feels like he won. The last lyric of the last song is, when I'm dead, I'll rest. Which is massively ironic given the manic attacks he had, not being able to sleep, delusional to the point of potential harm, and the rest he did require in various rehab facilities in order to get better. When he was almost dead, he rested, but it was almost too late. What I'm trying to say is, I think some albums feel like magic. Like the swirl of circumstances that happened, coupled with the content of these songs, seem faded in the same way that Pinkerton does. And let's not take that lightly. Let's dive deeper into Bemis' rebellion against the industry, the world, and himself.
Beneath my monstrous gown, a feather down, but I gathered up an army made of those who aim to shake them from their repose. And we took up weapons, yeah, and we took off our clothes, and we took up
Whoa, the second track, takes a shot at emo itself, mocking it as he conjures up the image of the United States of Woe. At the same time, he's rebelling against the people who make fun of emo. His next album would even be titled In Defense of the Genre. When he sings those first lines, and I stood proud in the gallery with my open socket of a mouth for them to see, they all just laughed and said, that boy's got woe. Bemis' lyrics are dangerous in a way, unconventional. Quote, she said, I can't get laid in this town without these pointy fucking shoes. My feet are so black and blue, and so are you. It's quite a commentary on gender, and Bemis makes it deftly in the same song. He says his girls probably sleep with him because he's in a band. In the writhing South, Bemis ends up in a strange land in the South with no recollection of getting there. There's even a Wizard of Oz reference. The puke green clouds just spat me out into the hot heartland I've landed with no shoes. Surely there must be some ruby slippers around there somewhere. And the song itself is a sexual anthem. I want to pollinate you. I hope to watch you writhe again soon. But also gets at the pain his promiscuity is causing. I've got these last 12 bucks to spend on you. You can take me anywhere your sick mind wants to. Use yourself to fuel me using you. Basically, use your body to fuel mine, which is just using yours. If you haven't already been able to tell, this entire record is about mental illness. There's manic songs and depressed songs and mixed songs, but at the core, it's the anti-everyone attitude that had manifested as full-blown paranoia. Think about it. The next step of I Hate Everyone, and yes, Bemis has a later song called Hate Everyone. is everyone hates me. And the next step after that is everyone is after me. And that's what happened to Bemis, and skipping around, he sings about it in Slowly Through a Vector.
Passing slowly through a vector. Damp with fog, the bog that grows through former business sector. With my laugh, my lonion. Only I can save the lives that blink within this canyon.
Max said in a Reddit AMA that the song was about watching someone you love hurt themselves emotionally while you drift through life wishing you could help them. This manifests in a horrific image of intruders. Here, let's listen to that now. Seems like a taunt to the intruders. Ha ha ha, show me what you've got. Instead of helping the girl, instead of tending to her, he stands up and he beats his chest for the ones who did this to her. It's such a naive song in that way, but it gets at the anti-everything, the anarchy of the record, just in a childish way. The narrator in the song is scared of everyone, but wants to fight everyone. Ha ha ha, show me what you've got. But I think the joke's on him. Live with the Glory of Love is a manic love song using the idea of a torrid love affair in a concentration camp as a metaphor for an emotionally taxing relationship. Let's go verse by verse.
When I watch you, want to do you right where you're standing. Yeah, right on the foyer on this dark day.
When I watch you, I want to do you right where you're standing, right on this foyer, on this dark day, right in plain view of the whole ghetto. If you remember your World War II history, in Europe, Jews lived in ghettos, which were cordoned off areas. They were not fun places to be, but the narrator of this song and his paramour don't seem to mind.
Oh yeah, of the whole ghetto.
The boots stomp meadows, but we ignore that. You're lovely, baby. This war is crazy. I won't let you down. The boots are the Nazis goose-stepping their way through Europe, and the war, of course, is World War II. No, I won't let them take you. I won't let them take you. Hell no, no. Self-explanatory, but you can also imagine the song being about drugs or a bad scene, taking someone away from someone else. The narrator vows to not let anything get between them.
And when our city fast and shitty falls to the axis. Yeah, they'll search the buildings, collect gold fillings, wallets and rings. Oh yeah.
When our city, vast and shitty, falls to the axis, They'll search the buildings, collect gold fillings, wallets, and rings. The Axis refers to the Axis powers, which included Germany, Italy, and Japan. The Nazis did, as they were rounding up the Jews, collect their wallets, money, jewelry, and even pulled out gold fillings to have them melted down. Miss Black Eyeliner, you look finer with each day in hiding. Beneath the wormwood, ooh, love me so good. They won't hear a screw away the day, I'll make you say. This is sort of a tongue-in-cheek, fist-in-the-air statement. You can come looking for us, but we'll just be having sex all day, so we don't really care. I won't let them take you, won't let them take you. Alive with love tonight.
Our troubling is alive with the glory of love. Troubling cow, alive with the glory of love. Yeah.
Our Treblinka is alive with the glory of love. Treblinka alive with the glory of love. Treblinka was a concentration camp in Poland. More Jews were killed at Treblinka than any other camp except Auschwitz. Bemis then yells, "Okay, speed it up. Go!" Which is ironic, considering he's the only one playing the instruments.
Should they catch us and dispatch us to those separate work camps? I'll dream about you. I will not doubt you with the passing of time. Oh yeah, should they kill me?
Catch us and dispatch us to those separate work camps. I'll dream about you. I will not doubt you with the passing of time. Should they kill me, your love will fill me as warm as the bullets. I'll know my purpose. This war was worth this. I won't let you down. Many families were broken up and sent to different concentration camps. When the narrator says, "I will not doubt you with the passing of time," he means that he will not fear that she has been killed. And even in death, he says he will be kept alive by the glory of love. In the metaphor, even when something is ripping apart a relationship, there's also this naive belief that love and love alone can save it. The both life-affirming and tragic nature of this song is that the glory of love can go a long way. But I think we all know that it can't save you from death. There's a particular irony in the double kick of songs that anchor the middle of the record, Yellow Cat / Red Cat and The Futile. Both about age, about complacency, about staying put. This is ironic, of course, because Bemis is barely 19 years old soaking wet. So when he sings, "These are my friends, this is who they have been for always," it's like, yeah, you're only 19, dude. Of course you've had the same friends. You're barely out of high school. And in The Futile, when he sings, "What do the old people teach us but how to die?" Well, considering almost everyone is older than you are, maybe a lot, maybe a lot. But I think the point of this is that this is a record about growing up. I mean, it's called Is a Real Boy, which is a Pinocchio reference of becoming a man, becoming a person. But the cover has a long wooden nose, implying that whoever is becoming a real boy on the cover has been lying his way to manhood. And I think these two songs are legitimate but tongue-in-cheek complaints from Bemis. He knows he's young, he knows he's naive in a way, but he's also gone through a large amount of adult shit. And I mean, I know having a mental illness myself, diagnosed around the same age, it feels like you've lived a lot of life.
No, no, these are my friends, this is who they have been for always. These are my days, this is how they stay. Hey, hey,
manic recklessness, a grandiosity on this record that can be seen either as a worrisome preview of the mental health issues Bemis would have after the release, or just SLC punk style teenage hubris. The truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. He's definitely jabbing his finger at other people, quote, up the beaten path where all the fakest fucks get laid. But he's also pointing the finger at himself. It's a surprisingly grown-up thing to do, honestly, and I think it's why so many of us related to this record. Not in any way to dismiss a mental illness, but weren't we all going a little crazy at 19? Didn't it always feel like we were just on the cusp of growing up? That we knew nothing and everything at the same time? In reality, of course, we didn't even know what we didn't know. Quote, I shall grow and grow, I'll grow, he sings. And at 19, he will, because he has to. Again, this idea of mistaking angry opinion for seasoned wisdom. As we talked about earlier, Is a Real Boy is essentially a musical, or an opera. It's loud, brash, over the top, a more punk version of the Bright Eyes melodramatic opus Lifted. Molly Conley just broke up with me over the revealing nature of the songs he sings. Probably a last vestige of a storyline, considering Molly Conley is not real and was possibly named after Bemis' idol, Chris Conley, of Saves the Day. In a great act of self-referentialism, he also sings, you goddamn kids had best be gracious with the merch money you spend, because for you, I won't ever have rough sex with Molly Connolly again. It's interesting to think that such a raw album like this is, in a way, dishonest, almost until the very end. Is Bemis a sarcastic, abrasive flamethrower he comes across as on the record? Or is it all just a character? Like, this is some Inception shit right here, right? Like, this is an album about being real and honest, railing against the fake fucks and thrift store gestapos of Los Angeles, while at the same time creating a very blurry line between the honesty and authenticity of the lyrics. It's about yelling speed it up now when you're the only one playing the instruments. And on top of all that, Bemis' mind, while recording the record, can't keep straight what's real and what isn't. Was this record a mirror of Bemis' mental state, or a window into a fictional world? Adding to the confusion is the fact that the opening intro is an actual conversation between Bemis and his father, a conversation with Max secretly recorded while they were in the car. And that's why you can hear the turn signal. I always thought it was supposed to be a therapist, which I think says a lot of how I think of this record.
I have to record the spoken word introduction to the record.
Still?
Yep. It's only a few lines, but I'm having anxiety about it.
Do you know what it is?
Yep, it goes,
Good, you don't have to write it. Oh yeah, let me hear it.
And the record begins with a song of rebellion.
That's it.
And the record begins with a song of rebellion.
Admit it!
Admit It is the last song on the record, and it's a doozy. It's a talk-sung screed against all those urban outfitters shopping, artisan coffee-drinking, pretentious know-nothings that haunt independent bookstores around liberal arts colleges. So basically, me. Despite your pseudo-bohemian appearance and vaguely leftist doctrinal beliefs, you know nothing about art or sex that you couldn't read in a trendy New York underground fashion magazine. This actually reminds me of the history lesson scene in Good Will Hunting, which I'll play for you now. Matt Damon as Will confronts a douchey bar patron.
I was just hoping you might give me some insight into the evolution of the market economy in the southern colonies. My contention is that prior to the Revolutionary War, the economic modalities, especially in the southern colonies, could most aptly be characterized as agrarian pre-capital.
All right, of course that's your contention. You're a first-year grad student. You just got finished reading some Marxian historian, Pete Garrison probably. You're going to be convinced of that till next month when you get to James Lemon. Then you're going to be talking about how the economies of Virginia and Pennsylvania were entrepreneurial and capitalist way back in 1740. That's going to last until next year. You're going to be in here regurgitating Gordon Wood, talking about, you know, the pre-revolutionary utopia and the capital-forming effects of military mobilization.
As a matter of fact, I won't, because Wood drastically underestimates the impact
of social distinctions predicated upon wealth, especially inherited wealth. You got that from Vickers. Work in Essex County, page 98, right? Yeah, I read that too. Were you going to plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter? Or do you, is that your thing? You come into a bar, you read some obscure passage, and then pretend you, you pawn it off as your own, as your own idea just to impress some girls, embarrass my friend? See, the sad thing about a guy like you is in 50 years, you're going to start doing some thinking on your own, and you're going to come up with the fact that there are two certainties in life. One, don't do that. And two, you dropped 150 grand on a fucking education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library.
Yeah, but I will have a degree, and you'll be serving my kids fries at a drive-thru on our way to a skiing trip.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but at least I won't be unoriginal.
Prototypical nonconformist, you're a vacuous soldier of the thrift store Gestapo. You adhere to a set of standards and tastes that appear to be determined by an unseen panel of hipster judges, giving a thumbs up or thumbs down to incoming and outgoing trends and styles of music and art. Again, as I sit here reading Pitchfork in my vintage army surplus jacket, it's hard not to smile and feel a little hurt, which I think is Bemis's exact intention. He knows that he probably falls into some of these categories, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't hate himself for it all the same. Go analog, baby. You're so postmodern. You're diving face forward into an antiquated past. It's disgusting. It's offensive. Don't stick your nose up at me. Referencing the hipster passion for film over digital, vinyl over CD, and Derrida over Kant. Sorry, that was an obscure reference. It's interesting that this album came out 10 years ago, and this song feels like it could have been written today about kids in Brooklyn. What's old is new again. Let's talk about the end of In Minute, because I think it's the most honest lyrics on the album, and a true summation of Bemis at age 19. He sings, "And I'm done with this. I want to taste the breeze of every great city, my car and my guitar. So you'll come to be made of these urges unfulfilled. Oh no, when I'm dead I'll rest, when I'm dead I'll rest, lay still, when I'm dead I'll rest." All the shit talking and fire breathing, Bemis admits he just needs his car, his guitar, his urges, his drive. Again, it's hard not to read Mania into that last line, but I like to think of this last coda as Bemis himself admitting it, that despite the anger, the piss in his veins, the rebelliousness, the fuck yous, all he actually needs is himself and his art and his talent. And nothing can take that away from him, even the thought of death. After Is A Real Boy came out, Say Anything signed with J Records, an imprint of Sony BMG. In June of 2005, Say Anything canceled their tour with Circle of Survive after Bemis had full-on paranoid delusions in Austin, Texas. I actually remember how pissed I was that that show got canceled. Most of the band quit or was fired around this time. And on October 3rd of 2005, Bemis had another breakdown, supposedly involving street fights, harassing children, spitting food at people, just in general a complete breakdown. He was hospitalized in Houston, Texas, and forced to cancel a tour with his idols, Saves the Day. Luckily, the story is a happy ending. Bemis was able to receive the help he needed in Houston and hasn't had a relapse since. He's sober, married Sherry Dupree, remember her from the brand new podcast, and has two kids who are adorable. He writes comic books and even has a band with Chris Conley of Saves the Day called Two Tongues. Say Anything Now is more of a Bright Eyes situation, where it's really just Max and whoever else plays with him at the time. Basically, Max has fulfilled that promise at the beginning of Belt. This is something I have to do for myself.
and my pain is mine. It's become my friend with time. She alike, it grows. Watch it fester for my foes. One day, I'm gonna get up.
Okay, that's what I got for Say Anything's as a Real Boy. It's a fantastic, crazy record soaked in mental illness and being young, and it's really interesting looking back on it about 10 years later now. Next month, as I mentioned, Bon Iver's For Emma, Forever Ago. Super interesting story behind it. Great lyrics. I'm really excited about it. Follow me on Twitter, at David Callison. That's David, K-A-L-L-I-S-O-N. Do it. Talk to me. If you want to email me also, it's dcallison@mac.com, dcallison@mac.com. Feel free to email. Tweet, email, subscribe to the show, rate the show, tell your friends, sing about the show in the shower, whatever you want to do, man. I really appreciate it. There's a whole bunch of you that listen to this now, and that's really, really exciting. And I do not take it for granted, trust me. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the comments and suggestions that you have sent me. Keep them coming. That's it. Oh, no, I don't have a quote. Hold on. As Max Bemis would say, you've got those tired eyes all the time. You should probably, you know, go look into that. We're going out on Say Anything, doing a cover of Saves the Day, Jesse and My Whetstone. It's one of my favorite Saves the Day songs, and I like what they do with it. So that's it. That's all I got.
Peace!
Opened up your screen door and threw me out off the porch of a summer day. I drove home whistling down the pike. Yeah! And that was that. One sweet night together and under highway signs, I watched our love gun flutter and dissipating, counted all the headlights to make sure I was alright. Now I'm wondering, is it me or is it that can't see silver linings? But I fucked it up, watched you go. I saw my hand, my valid alone. No one left to do, remember the story. Where we sat in blue screen foggy eyes, watching the strike of 69. I dreamed of wrecking my underwear. Can I touch your cheek somewhere? Under dirt filled rainy nights, my socks stuck in the mud. Yeah.